Happy New Year, my pleasure seekers. Welcome to the first episode of this year. This is now, season 5. Podcast been around since 2019. It's been a journey. So I have a special surprise. If you follow my social media, you know that this first episode, we have a special guest, and it's the boyfriend, Sergi, your favorite person. I don't know, y'all love him. Last year he had the number one episode when he came on, and for the first episode this year I figured why not have him on, because we are celebrating 1 year and we're just going to reflect. So listen to this ad real quick and then we'll come back with Mr. G. Welcome back. Hi, honey. Say hi to the people.
Hi to the people.
You don't have to literally say hi to the people. You start with the foolishness already.
Yeah, it's another year. So
hey, it is not? Another year. And we are actually recording out of the States. We are on our anniversary vacation / his birthday vacation. So I figured why not record. So, honey, a year.
1 year.
What you gotta say to the people? How is our year together?
Let me tell you. Time flies when you're having fun. That's all I can say.
Was it fun?
Oh, yeah. I can't believe it's a year, though.
Why?
Because it just went by really quickly. Really quickly.
Was it like, what do you think? One question that came in, I showed you. Someone asked. We have a lot of good to say, and they hear about the good and they see the good. If there were any obstacles we had to overcome, so let's just get that out of the way. Do you think we had any obstacles to overcome?
Not for me.
Damn. Yeah, okay, just go ahead and throw your girlfriend under the bus, why don't you?
Let's call it as it is. Because there's no obstacles for me. I mean, there's probably for you.
Damn.
Because as
she's so harsh.
Yeah, as I said earlier, it's probably for you to let somebody in to kind of, because you'd put, I'd not even say a wall, I'd say you'd build a penitentiary.
Oh my God!
And you didn't want to let anybody in.
I had a penitentiary up, not a wall. Y'all hear this? This is so raw, uncut. And you said a penitentiary.
A penitentiary.
I put a penitentiary up with you?
Not with me.
You didn't give me time to put my penitentiary up, as you call it. I did have a wall up. I had to. So I think for me personally, my obstacle was allowing you in.
Right.
It was trying not to self-sabotage. As we often do.
Yeah.
When you've been through a lot, coming from a lengthy relationship, hard breakup, and single for 4 years, it was hard to flow. And the listeners know I was struggling with just flowing and receiving and getting comfortable with someone in my emotional space again. Because I did vow to myself that I was going to stay single forever.
So how is that working out for you?
I mean, it's a year, so you kind of threw that out the window.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, sometimes when you have your plans and God has his.
Oh, geez, so easy.
He just smiles at yours, you know.
You think God? Yeah, so that was my struggle, allowing myself to feel without questioning and not self-sabotaging and not thinking it is too perfect to be true. Yeah, that was one of my biggest thing.
And the good thing about that is that you did not bring that into the relationship per se, because, you know, a lot of times people take things from their previous relationships or what's out there, and then they overthink a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And to your credit, that never happened. There was not an instance where I felt that I was, you know, under a microscope or just walking on eggshells or, you know, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt comfortable. I tried to make you feel as comfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, so good. I mean, a year is a big deal. Sometimes it is, because you know, you look at relationships everywhere. You look at marriages. You look at anything to that effect as it relates to companionship and being, you know, together.
Mm-hmm.
The whole togetherness. It's
a lot of people are not making it to a year.
Yeah, I mean. But, you know, you have to put in the work, you know, and that's...
What? Yeah, you have to put in the work.
Mm-hmm. You have to be invested in it, and you can't take anything for granted.
So would you say you went all in for us the moment we started dating, or you had one foot in, one foot out at any point?
No, I'm a chuck off.
Hey, honey, not every listener's Jamaican.
Let me translate that.
You chuck off?
That past tense of dive, you dove in.
You dived in. 100%. Both feet in.
Head first.
You came head first. Yeah, no doubt. You didn't have doubt at any point.
I had no reason to have any doubt. You made me very comfortable. You made me feel that, you know, this is us. Basically.
At what point did you feel that way?
At the get-go, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Just as we... Because we communicate a lot. And there's one that's your strong suit. It's communicating.
It is.
And you ask questions.
I'm big on communicating.
I'll answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of out of my realm as well. But I felt comfortable. So, because usually you get defensive answering questions. You're like, why are you asking me this?
I did ask you a lot of questions.
But it just kind of flowed. And I've learned a lot about you. I've learned a lot about me.
Talk about that. What did you learn about you? What, during my Q&A sessions or just overall in the last year?
Just overall. As it relates to my patience. Because in the past,
mm-hmm.
I had no patience when it comes to, you know, you call it, for us, sometimes it's menial and it's trivial. But for you, sometimes it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, simple questions like what makes you a better person? What makes us the way we are?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, you know, questions that make you go, is not a yes or no. It's not a yes or no answer. Mm-hmm. You have to really think and go
and reflect on it.
And then from the honesties there, you don't have to dig deep,
mm-hmm.
you know, the essence of the relationship, the honesty of it, the transparency of it, it's mm-hmm. there. And you don't have to dig deep. Everything will just flow. So, but in the past, I've had relationships where you ask a question. I'm like, why are you asking me this? Well, what, you know, then you be defensive. And
right.
And that's just, I think, sometimes the nature of things. Not saying that's a bad thing. But I'm just saying for me personally.
So do you think your individual work allowed you to not, be defensive when I asked you those questions?
What?
Your individual inner work that you did.
Oh, before. Yeah, the introspect, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I did a lot because being with two failed marriages,
mm-hmm.
And I had to kind of take a step back.
How long were you single before you met again? You said around the same time I have, like 4 years?
Marriage, yes. I was married.
No, I divorced, mean single.
Divorced like, yeah. In 2020. Yeah, so, I had to take a step back. COVID helped with that, too.
Oh, shit. I think COVID helped a lot of people with that.
Yeah, COVID helped where you were just isolated.
And COVID forced me into celibacy for a year and a half, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so it kind of helped to, you know, kind of take a step back and look at, I don't know if you want to call it functionality as it relates to being in relationships back to back to back to back to back relationships. Mm-hmm. Not getting.
You got a moment to breathe, basically. Right.
Not getting a time to kind of exhale and say, all right, let's look at me.
Right.
You know, look at not the problem or what have you. Look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Dig deep. Look at your flaws. Right. We don't like to look at our flaws.
We always
blame the other person.
It's easier.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But, you know, sometimes we have to be honest and look at ourselves in the mirror and look at say, hey, listen, probably I was the problem.
Mm.
You know?
Interesting.
And, you have to look at it and ask questions. I mean, you can... If you have a good relationship with your ex, if you do, if you don't, well, you know, find somebody because you will beat yourself up,
right?
Trying to figure it out on your own, right. But you have to find somebody who was on the other side,
right? The receiving end,
yeah, on the other side of it as well, and say, hey, listen, talk to me,
right?
I just want to. Understand, and once you can do that, then you can be honest with yourself because mm-hmm. that's basically what it is. You have to be honest with yourself, know your faults, know your faults. Where you fall short, and if you can have somebody to kind of fill that gap or meet you halfway, and then it's not basically completing you, but it's just basically helping you to complete yourself to find that. You know, I guess that middle ground, basically. Mm.
Thanks for sharing that, though. What do you think? I had a question. What do you think you did differently with us that worked, that didn't work in your previous relationships? Were you intentional to do things? I know for me, I was very intentional in doing things differently because I knew what didn't work for me in my past relationship. Like you said, I'm big on communicating because I stopped communicating in my previous relationship and I allowed things to just fall in this routine. And I was like, I don't want us to fall into a routine. And I was deliberate with always communicating, no matter what.
Yeah, that is
key. What you think did differently with us that you didn't do in your previous relationship. That
is key because communication is a hell of a thing.
I stress it a lot when I talk on the podcast and Pillow Talk Live and stuff. And I was like, people, communicate.
Yeah, talk about things.
Good or bad.
Yeah, good or bad.
Communicate.
I'm not going to say we as men. I'm not going to clash.
Because you're a different man. Yeah, I've said this a million times. You're like a unicorn. Because you are a unicorn and my single friends want to clone you because you're not, honey.
I am humbled by that. However.
But honey... You've heard me on the phone with my girlfriends,
mm-hmm.
and you've had dinner with us, with two of them, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And we let you know it is hard out here. Hence why I was single for so long. I mean, everybody know I like both sides of the fence, male or female, it doesn't matter. But it's hard. A good man is hard to find. finding you is like needle in a haystack. Okay? You are a unicorn. So, yes, when you're talking about anything in the male species, you have to just talk about you. You cannot, there's no way we can generalize this where you're concerned.
I am humbled by that. I really am. But I don't even know how to explain that and to say, well, you just be yourself, because first of all, you have to take a step back and understand your partner. You have to understand if you're going to treat a woman, treat her the way a woman is supposed to be treated. I won't say it's simple, but it's learned. Coming from my era, you treat a woman with respect. And it starts from the first day you meet. You sitting in a restaurant, you pull her chair out.
And you still do that to this day.
You never let a woman, you're going to your vehicle, you're going to your car, you let her jump in the other. No, if you're going to pick her up, you let you reach over. No, you get out and you open the door for the lady. Treat her like a lady, like how she deserves to be treated. And you put her on a pedestal. And that's how I treat you. And it's natural for me to do that, because that's just the way.
It seemed natural. Like it has been consistent for the past year.
And
you haven't not one time.
Yeah. And then although it's a pillow talk, you have to have your faith. Yes. You have to have a strong foundation in faith in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That is important. You know, that in itself, because you, with your word in the mornings and stuff like that, you read your devotional in the mornings, that it goes a long way. You read that, you just resonate that first thing in the morning, and your spirituality comes out, and it's not only for you, it resonates with your partner as well. And with that combined, and you have a specific goal in mind, you have things to accomplish, you have things to do, you have whatever it is, it's a togetherness, and you and your partner have to have that communication as it relates to both of you are on the same page, on the same road, in the same vehicle, going in the same direction.
And you would say that's what you've done differently with us than in your previous relationship.
Right. For me, it was just winging it.
In your previous relationship?
Basically, you just go in and just...
What?
You know, wherever I drop off, it drop off.
You were winging it.
Yeah, you're just going in and just like, oh, okay, we're here. Okay, all right. It wasn't... My first marriage, and we discussed this.
Yes, you have.
Fucked that up.
Were an ass. I'm surprised she still talks to you. Yeah, I'm surprised you were a jerk.
Yeah, I was a total ass. I screwed it up to the 100th and dimension.
The messed up thing is you had no reason to.
I had no reason to. But, you know. It is what it is.
I commend you for acknowledging that, though.
Yeah, I was an idiot. But anyway, so I say that to say, I have learned from that as it relates to, not even that, because I didn't take that into my second marriage. My second marriage made me realize that my first marriage was a walk in the park.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
So, but that's another story.
We will not even mention that disaster.
Yeah. So, and then, so that's what I, at the end of that marriage in 2020, then I had to take a step, look, then you say, hey, okay, so you've been through this whole hurricane.
Right.
And then now you've come out on the other side. You've you've survived.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to take to the other person who you're going to be, who is going to be in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go in, you know, just how you came out of all of this.
Right.
The two marriages you just came out of. So that's where, as I said before, the introspect, and you have to do a basically an inventory of yourself and just kind of say, all right, what am I going to take to the next person who is going to be in, I'm going to be involved with?
So you weren't like me. For me, I was more like, after 14 years with one person and our breakup, we had our highs and our lows. And I've said this on the podcast before, I'll never say it was a horrible marriage. We had our ups and downs like everyone else, but the separation was horrible. And for me, I was like, I'm gonna be single forever. Mm-hmm. You set the intention that you were gonna meet someone and you're gonna go into that differently. I was more like, the wall, as you call it, the penitentiary, the wall is up, and I'm gonna be toxic on these streets forever. Let no one come close, right. And I'm just gonna be single. I'm just gonna be a single girl out, because it was easier that way to be unattached.
That's the easy way out. But we have totally different views where that is concerned. Me, I never vowed to be single. I cannot. I could not say I went vowed to be single. No. I value my companionship with myself. But that can only go so far.
Oh,
I would need.
I was planning to be one with my toys forever.
Yeah. No. Nope, not for me. So
or have unhealthy relationship. Well, not relationship, but just like
right
situationship.
Situationship,
yeah. For as long as I could.
Yeah. So I just decided that, hey, you know, get back out there and then give the best of me.
And I think from we met, you've just remained consistent. Consistent with showing up emotionally, just being present in our relationship. You've been consistent for this year.
I try.
It seems so easy for you.
Well, it when I say I try, it's more than that. It's you can do a lot of things because it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But when it feels natural, then it is what it is. It's natural.
It flows.
It just flows. And you don't have to fake it. You don't have to just go on, I have to do this or do that. It just comes natural. You know, so that I think that's with us. It's a natural, it's effortless for us. So
when did it click for you? Like, when did you have a moment of, aha, this is it? Because we said that this is it. Listen, there will be no other relationship after this one. This, what Carisha said to Diddy, we go together real bad.
Who?
Okay. I'll explain it to you after.
All right, okay. That one went over my head.
It's all right. It's okay, honey. But when did that little light bulb go off for you to say, this is it? She is her.
I think it's a myriad of different things. Because for us, well, for me, it's not, you know, it's not just one thing you say, aha, yeah. No, I think it's several things that culminate.
And Tell the people.
And I think one of the things was, and it was simple in terms of when you said, when I go to work, and you'd say to me that, hey, you need to take, here are some stuff for you to take with you. Simple things like that. And you'd prepare meals.
Oh.
Because I'd be gone for 2, 3, 4 days at a time. And stuff. And, you know, one thing you go like,
and I haven't cooked for you in so long. Don't worry.
No, no, that's fine. But as I said, that's just one of the things that kind of said, okay. You know.
And I randomly did that. You didn't even ask me for it.
Right. It's just, you know, and so you look at it and go, okay. People may think that's normal, but it goes a long way because it shows, you know, that you care. It's a matter of caring. It's not just, you know, it's fine. I'm gone for 4 days. It's fine. You know, he'll survive. You know, he has done it before. He'll survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Okay, so that's one.
As I said, it's so many things. You know, family, as it relates to the, I wouldn't call them kids anymore. My daughter, my son, you constantly, you know, checking in with, and my mom, same thing. You know, family is key, you know, and family values,
mm-hmm.
with your family as well, with your mom, you see, you know, everybody in your circle, and your tight-knit friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way to show that how tight and how loving and it's like a ride or die kind of situation with everybody, you know.
And you have fit so well with them.
Yeah, it's not like...
You've literally just fit.
It's right, as and with
you
that,
haven't put me in a position, and this is a question that I've gotten asked a lot when people ask me, like, I was single for so long, I do work, I do run a business, I do travel a lot, I have my friends, how have I been able to make us work in the midst of all of this? And my best answer to them was just that you just fit. You just you just came in and you fit. You didn't put me in a position where I had to choose between some. Don't give me that face, because some men have put a lot of women in that position. Like, I've heard already from people I've met, oh, you're too busy, you don't have time. You know, you should put your business aside for me. Like, I've heard things like that. Or one person told me my business is not as important as his business and I should put mine aside to help him with his. I've been in those situations. So for you to come along and fit. So, like...
That's a different mindset right there. So I can't relate to that. I can't speak to that.
How are you able to fit in my world so seamlessly without putting me in that position of feeling like I'm obligated to either one?
Because for me, you have a growing business, right? You are invested in your business. Plus you have your other job, which is, well... your job.
Okay? Right.
You have those two. I would never, ever, ever dream of saying to you, hey, you need to put this aside for me. What I will do, I will try to encourage you and to be there for you as a sounding board, as a source of encouragement for you, for either one, mm-hmm. or for both, as a matter of fact, to help you get to where you need to go. With your job, the job is a job, but especially for your business, that is your baby. And I respect that so, so much. You know, to be doing what you do and do what you love, it's amazing. There are women out there who do it, and more kudos. But you have started your own little niche, and I cannot wait for it to just explode, to take it where you, it's just there, everybody's talking about you,
mm-hmm.
and you know your candles and what you do. That's just my vision, you know, to help you to be the best you there is. And that's, and basically that's what you want as well. And that's where it comes to the same page as it relates to us going in the same direction.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I am there for you to as your other, as your partner, director of quality.
Oh, geez, Louise.
HR. And
y'all,
all that stuff.
He gave himself several different titles in the candle company. Right, he has given himself the title of quality control.
Director of quality and
director
HR.
Of quality and HR, right. Which is like he's in HR sleeping with the CEO. It's exactly. Crazy to me.
So I have to CC myself and everything.
So, he's given himself several positions.
Yeah, several roles in the company.
Several roles in the company. Right. It's, so it's crazy.
Yeah, but saying that to say, I mean, all joke aside, it's there, you know. The sky is the limit for you.
Thank you. The sky is
the limit. And, you know, to watch your company grow and evolve, it's just amazing. So, you know, kudos to you.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
That wasn't hard for you. I remember. That wasn't hard for you. I remember. I don't know if you remember that you said this. I think it was. Oh my God. I maybe a month in the dating process or 2 or 3 months in. I don't remember what I had coming up. I think it was after the first collection last year. And that was February. That was a Valentine's collection for the candle company. And then I think I had to go to Texas in March. I don't remember. It was like in between those windows. And I don't know if you remember this. And you said to me, you said, I know I'm here now. I'm supposed to be your balance. Do you remember that? I don't think you remember that. I think you had a moment of mushness. I think it was during the time. I just had a lot going on. And I was also tired. Like I was bringing the 2021 tiredness into 2022. I was so exhausted.
Okay.
And I had a lot happening. And we were just talking. And I remember you said, I'm supposed to be your balance. That's what you said to me.
Well, I mean, it sounds like I would say, as
you
it relates
did. It,
to...
Like, I held on to that.
Right. Because, yeah, your balance and your support. You know, we're not... You're not in this by yourself. You know, we're in this together. And so that, you know, that would make true as it relates to what I think I would have said at the time, you know.
You've been my balance this year. The past year. You've been my peace.
Well, we've been, you know, it goes both ways. So.
I think I'm not... The easiest to date, I don't think.
Why?
Because I'm an emotional mess sometimes. You don't think so?
Okay, if you say so.
I can't stand you. I think the thing for me, because I was asked, or my original question was, what was the thing to make you say, that's the girl? But
as I said,
there were multiple things.
That there are so many to list that it's, I mean... It's just...
You checked all the boxes for me.
Yeah, there's not one thing I could say, well, yeah, you kind of... And then I think when... Who said I love you first?
We're gonna talk about this in public? Like, we're going to let the people know? Like,
no,
seriously?
We won't.
They want to hear everything. Somebody on Instagram said they want to hear everything.
Some things you can hold back. But with that...
We did do that little thingy in our vacation. That was who said I love you first? And you did point on me.
Okay.
I did say I love you first.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I guess not.
No, absolutely not.
But you said it right back.
I do because I did realize at the time that I was in love with you. Because you check all the boxes as well. Because
okay, you know, well, give the people.
Hey, trust me,
we talking
Listen,
now.
I think I'm one of the luckiest men on the planet right now.
Okay? Oh, honey. So tell the people like your top five. On your checklist that I checked.
You're going to put me on the spot.
Now. I am going to put you. You put yourself on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, you brought it up.
Intellect.
That's one.
You have a phenomenal heart.
That's two.
It's amazing. Your soul, your heart, everything combined is just amazing.
Intellect, heart, and soul. Okay, that's two.
There is...
Tell the people, you know, they like to hear the full, they like, you don't have to hold back on the podcast, and you know this.
Yeah.
So, that's
and then we're
two.
We're compatible in so many ways that it blows my mind, you know.
I told you earlier, we're having lunch, it's like we're dating ourselves. It's like, right, you're a male version of me, and I'm a female version of you.
Because sexually, we are just... out there, we're just
it's and not madding. Out there, yeah. It's
and you being bi. Oh yeah, it's
that's the third box.
Oh, man,
that I'm bisexual.
Oh yeah,
you nasty freak.
I am. I love it.
You're such a damn freak. I cannot stand you.
I love it.
I think
and we're both foodies.
I think that's
we're
why
both
you. Swiped right on the app because you said that I was bisexual. Okay, so that's three. The fourth one.
Was that on the app?
Yeah, I put it. My sexual preference is never a secret. Everybody know I'm bisexual.
I remember.
It was on my profile. Mm-hmm.
Well,
if you're listening bonus. For the first time, we met on Hinge. This is not a paid sponsorship to promote Hinge,
exactly.
But... that's where we met, and we did delete the app. Ouch! Right after.
Yeah,
So, intellect is
intellect.
One. My heart and soul is two. Me being bisexual is three. You have two more out of your top five that I checked off your box, Mr. Sir.
Mr. Sir. Being totally honest, your values.
I love that I put you on the spot. What, do you want to just go grab your wine and take a sip?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Because I'm sipping.
Or, you know, we laugh a lot. We
do laugh a lot.
We laugh a lot. And that's
We good. Have such a good time.
Yeah. We laugh. Let's put it like that, because I'm an idiot sometimes. So I like that we can laugh and we can share stupid things, little light things. We can.
No, I need to take you off Beyonce's internet.
Who?
Beyonce internet. You need to come off of Beyonce and Cartel Instagram.
Okay.
All right. Stop sending me crap.
You will always get crap because they're funny.
So my intellect, heart and soul.
Heart and soul.
Values. Or should I put
your
values?
Sexuality. Your,
oh, sexuality, sexuality was the third one.
Yeah.
And fourth one is sense of humor.
Yeah, we just laugh. We
and
laugh.
What was the fifth one that I checked off your box?
Let's see. What were you, number five or four?
This is your last one, the fifth one.
Oh, okay.
Because you put values at
but
number
you know
four.
What? Yeah, values, but you know what? And it's not last but not least. It's because you love me.
Oh, honey. Seriously.
Seriously. It's...
You're so corny.
It is corny, but guess what?
Such a cornball.
Yeah. you can... Prior to now, I'm not the easiest person to love.
Really?
Yeah.
It was so easy to love you.
I was not.
It
the
is
easiest.
So easy to love
it
you.
It was not.
Literally all my friends love. It is so easy to love you. So what
not.
You say the difference between who you are now and the person you said wasn't easy to love back then?
I was I was unsure of myself.
Hmm.
I doubted myself a lot. I, you know, and that took me into dark places.
Mm.
You know, okay. And so there was always self-doubt. There was always you feel sorry for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not the person you look in the mirror and you're not seeing the person that you should see.
Mm.
You're seeing a darker version of yourself.
Oh, wow. That's, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, and that's loaded.
Yeah.
And
so you
kind of
have to evolve from that.
You think you've...
And take... You always had a... I think it's a low esteem issue.
Mm-hmm.
The esteem was very low for me. And so that in itself... And I was a very shy person.
Oh.
Very shy. So shy... Meaning that...
Shy where?
I was.
No way. Were you shy?
Very shy. Oh, yeah. So shy meaning that I would not talk about my feelings or emotions or anything. All of that was just bottled inside.
Honey, you're such a mush now.
Yeah, so I evolved.
So the fifth one is because I love you?
Because you love me.
You're such a mush. You're such a mush.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard to love you.
Mm.
You made it very easy.
Oh, good.
My top five, because I know your boy probably say, she got it. I'll give my top five. I think I told you, was it a couple of days ago or last week? Number one, you're spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
When I found that out, on our first date. So we met the 19th. Our first date was the 30th. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, that's when I...
That's when you came back.
Mm-hmm.
You prayed over dinner. That blew my mind. And I think I told the people on our Pillow Talk Live. I said, y'all, he prayed over dinner. He is not... a normal man.
And, well, that would not have been something I would have done. I mean, I'm just saying that. I think that in itself...
Yeah.
It was like... I don't know if I can explain it correctly, but it was just... something that about this union when we met on the first date and for me to pray, it was almost like praying on us. Yeah, okay. Like saying that, you know, grant us just peace, just grant us this grant, well, pray over this union then,
right? And it was our first date.
But we were communicating prior.
I mean, yes, we spoke a lot.
And so it was just praying over it and just saying, hey, you know. And then we've continued that tradition.
And it's funny for you to say peace, because peace was my word for 2022, which you did not know.
No.
And what I loved was on our first date when we met, when you met me near the coming from my car, when we exchanged. You remember we exchanged gifts? Like, you brought me a gift on my first date, and I brought you a gift on our first date because it was after your birthday.
Right.
And we're literally swapping bags.
I brought you the
rum that we opened New Year's Eve.
In pineapple, yeah.
And you actually saved me a piece of your birthday cake from your trip. And that was a surprise.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was a surprise, because I said it jokingly, like, bring me back a piece, and you did bring me back a piece.
Yeah, I forgot.
And
about
I think
that.
I gave you candles from the company for our first, from our.
Yeah, you and I are going to have a talk about that as director of quality.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, your gifts, your. We're to have an allotment of gifts. But anyway, I'm just...
Oh, my God. You have so much of the candles at home.
I'm kidding.
So, yeah, when you prayed over dinner, that was... I mean, granted, you were checking boxes leading up to our first date. But you praying at dinner, I was just like, this man is not for real. This must be a facade. And here goes those thoughts, right? Of, right. you know, self-sabotaging that I never said out loud. And then I remember my first time spending the night at your house. And I don't know if that you know this, but I paid attention to these things. And we woke up the next day. You had an early heading out, right? Because the folks, people don't know what you do for a living. And y'all not going to know. You know the asses. But you had to leave out that morning. Mm-hmm. And you were in the shower and you started playing your gospel music. And I was in the bed like, no, he didn't.
I played what?
You were playing your gospel playlist.
Oh, okay.
And I was in the bedroom like, wait a minute. So the praying over the dinner wasn't a fake thing. Like, this is, he does this. Like, whoa, hold on. Because, you know, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. So when you came out of the bathroom, you stopped it. And I look at you like, why did you stop it? He was like, I don't know. I don't know if you listen to this. Kind of like, sir, do you want my playlist? And I sent you my playlist.
Okay.
And at that point, okay, hold on. Oh, hold on, y'all. This thing is ending. Okay. Okay. I have to keep my eye on the clock. It's telling me, it's giving me the alert about recording time. Okay, I'm back. I don't know what just happened with that part of the recording, but y'all will hear the difference. So yeah, so that was the gospel thing. And that just checked it off the list for me. And I think my second one, how close you are with your mom.
Okay.
For me, you can tell how a man will treat you based on how he treats his mother. Mm-hmm. That says a lot about a man. You have some men out here, I'm telling you, man. You would think a woman didn't give birth to them.
Okay.
How close you are to your mom is beautiful to me. Third, sex was a big thing for me. And you checked that box. You checked that box early out. And for me, it was a big thing because in my previous relationship, I had to minimize who I was becoming sexually to adjust to that person. And I told myself I wasn't going to do that again. If I decided to be in a relationship with anybody, even though I said I was going to be single forever, but if I was entertaining anyone, I didn't want to compromise
who you are,
who I am when it comes to.
But why should you though?
I did, though. You know, you talk about those self-doubts and all those things. I went through that. I did hide. I wouldn't say hide, but just like not. Just kind of dumb down certain things, right? But then being single for so long and then evolving, like that birthed the podcast of taking people on this journey with me of just sexual exploration and being comfortable in exploring and being true to just like, it's okay to like kinky shit, you know?
It is.
So when you checked that box, I was like, whoo, hallelujah, because that would have been a deal breaker for me. I couldn't, like, yes, everything else was perfect, but if you didn't, it's not going to work. Because I'm a kinky person. And I cannot see myself dating someone that's pure vanilla. It wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, I can understand that. And
and I think the same would go for you. Like, I couldn't see you dating someone that's fully vanilla. You're a nasty, kinky freak.
I am, but I, and that's where you come in, because it's like you know, I didn't even know.
You didn't? Wait. I got it. Well, I'll tell them. Like, I think I shared it on Pillow Talk on Instagram. I don't think I shared it on the podcast. I don't remember. But we're going to, because you really did not know how kinky I was.
I probably didn't know to the extent of, I knew I'm open-minded and all that stuff. But with you?
You didn't know.
I had no clue I was capable of doing, you know, and I do it with a smile. but yeah,
that was so funny. Your reaction, oh god, I gotta tell y'all about that. So let me finish my top five and then I'm
okay.
So where I am, spiritual, you're closeness with your mom, sexual, and I really, really admired how hardworking you are. That's number four. I really, really, really admired that. And the fifth one, I really, really loved that you did your inner work, your introspecting. That meant a lot for me because I've done the work and I feel like I couldn't be with someone where I feel like I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but we've done some kind of healing to meet our higher selves, and now our higher selves can be together.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't, if you didn't hit those, it would have been weird for me.
Yeah.
It would have been weird for me because it's just like with your spiritual sense, I didn't want to date someone where I had to explain my routine. Like I had to explain why devotions are important to me to start mm-hmm. my day, or why I listen to personal development and why I have these routines to keep my mind right, especially mm-hmm. given my depression. Like, I didn't want to go through this is why. Right, here's the instructions of dealing with me when mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. And I feel like I haven't have to do that for you. It's more so adjusting to the fact that you don't leave me alone. Not in a bad way, but in a way of just like, you invade my shell. Again, not in a bad way.
Invade your what?
My shell.
Oh, your shell. Okay. Yeah.
You kick.
I came in uninvited.
Sir, you kick it down. You said.
But it was necessary.
Isolation where?
I think it was necessary.
I'm coming in and I'm sitting here, yeah. Whether you like it or not.
And then we have a discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an adjustment for me too, because I'm not used to that. I'm used to shutting down,
yeah.
Pushing the person away.
Yeah, it's good to even... And trust me, and I was on the other end because that's what I would do. I would shut down and just cut everybody off and not say a word. I would be asked, hey, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. You know, and that would be my mantra.
You were good at wearing masks.
Oh, yeah. I was always I was very happy-go-lucky, but deep inside, you know, you're right. I was going through my stuff and, you know, I just shut down. That was my coping mechanism.
Mine too.
Was just to shut down. So, I can identify when my partner, once you're in sync or once we're in sync and we have we're on that same wavelength,
mm-hmm.
You always ask me how I know.
I don't like it.
Hey, it's just it comes with being connected.
Can I tell you
spiritually?
I tell you all the time I fuss. I don't like it. Like my spiritual guides, they snitch on me all the time. Can I have a moment of hiding?
No.
No, I don't get that moment because you always know.
Yeah, so I can feel it no matter where I am. I can always tell. You send me a message.
And I always try my best to keep the message the same way. I said, good morning, my love. We've been doing this consistently. And you ask me how I'm doing, and I let you know. Like, I try my best to keep it the same script.
Yeah, but no.
But somehow.
Somehow I know that something is off. Something is amiss somewhere. And, but, hey, it comes with relationships. It comes with being... And love, it's way beyond love. It's way beyond that. It's that connection that we have that you can know when your partner is your partner, your loved one, if that person is crying out for help, if that person is sad.
How do you know? Like, what advice can you give to someone? If there's a couple listening and like, how did you get to that point in just knowing
there is no, it's not a textbook thing that this is what you look for. This is you. There's nothing I can say that can let you pinpoint. And it's like when you know, that's basically it. If you're in tune or you're in sync and if your souls are compatible, you are going to feel the other person's pain.
Ouch.
Yeah, you will feel that other person.
That's some deep shit.
You will. Trust me when I tell you. You will feel that. You don't even have to ask the person if they're okay. You're going to ask. You said, hey, what's going on? Kind of thing. Because you know something is wrong. Because you can feel it. We are apart more than we're together.
Yeah.
So, that connection we have has trained itself to know, to supersede the, hey, my love, how you, if, and you respond in any kind of way. You go, huh. Something wrong. Something is off. You know, so then you kind of... Something goes off. But there is... You just have to be in tune.
You are very in tune with
you
me.
You're just to be intuitive. Know your partner. Know them. And I learn more about you every day. So I can't say that I know everything about you.
Do you think you knowing... I have depressive episodes keep you on higher alert?
In some instances, yes. But it does not put a cloud on anything.
Okay.
Because I want to be your light. Whenever you feel that cloud coming over and it's getting dark, I want you to think of me and the sun comes back out.
Okay, bars.
That's just how I want.
You're not going to let me cry on this episode.
It's not going to be sunshine and...
not what we're going to do right now.
It's not going to be sunshine and roses all the time.
Oh, God, I love you.
But I want to be that light to just shine perpetually on you and say, hey, I'm here. You know, anything at all. There are certain things you go through. I can't help. You know, I am not in the position to help, or I cannot physically help. But I want you to know that there is somebody else, another human being, who is not related to you.
Or in my inner circle of friends.
But there's that someone else who is that person, your other person who you can just talk to and just say, hey, this is what is going on. You know,
and you've provided that safe space. And I think a lot of couples are struggling with that, being each other's safe space. Like, you created a safe space you make it inviting and comfortable for me to share how I'm feeling, whether good or bad, and the confidence in knowing that you would not push me away.
Right. And that's basically what we want.
And I hope I've done that for you.
Oh, absolutely. More ways than one. You know, and as we want to take away from all this, relationships take work, but it's not as hard as it may seem.
I remember when I said that to you. I was like, it's so easy. And you were like, it's supposed to be easy.
I
remember you said that to me. You're like, but babe, it's supposed to be easy.
We make it difficult.
We do. As humans, we throw wrenches in everything. When I tell people for our year together, and this is where, you know, sometimes we fuck up because a lot of people bring their past stuff into their new situation and they're comparing and all that stuff. For this year of us together, we didn't argue. We didn't have any arguments. We haven't had any major quarrels.
And people probably said probably it's not healthy.
Yeah, some people would say that. Yeah, but
people would say if you don't argue, you don't cuss, and you don't go on bad.
People would say that's unhealthy.
It's unhealthy, but if you have a disagreement, if you and your partner have an issue, feel free. You talk about it. I mean, some people fuss and quarrel and go on bad.
Everybody is Jamaican. You cannot just drop the patois randomly.
They'll be having an argument. They'll be having arguments upon arguments. And then, voices are going to be... And you get passionate because, you know, you feel strongly about...
Elevate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, if that works for you, it works for you.
But
it
doesn't work for us.
It doesn't... It has never gotten to that stage where we're going to have to try and say, we haven't gone there.
I don't think we've had any situation where we don't need to go there
because there's always transparency.
We talk about everything
that needs to be spoken about. It hasn't got there. So,
I don't think it's good. I describe our relationship as my Hallmark fairy tale. You know how I feel about Hallmark and my rom-coms. Do not roll your eyes at me.
We will agree to disagree.
You know how I feel about my Hallmark movies. But I describe our relationship as my own Hallmark fairy tale with a hint of kink.
A hint of kink. But baby, you deserve all the happiness there is. You know that.
Thank you. You said that. You've been saying that since
you deserve. You deserve to be happy.
I feel like with us, our relationship and our love is reciprocal and not transactional. You're about to knock the wine glass over. There you go. More so, and now this is for my ladies that are listening. It's easy for me to honor you. And knowing I will get it back in return. Like, some relationships are so one-sided, where a lot of women in relationships feel like the man should always do. You know, he does the gifts, the flowers, the this, the that. And then they just take without honoring him in return, unless it's the birthday or it's Christmas or things like that. And I feel like
one thing that resonated with me as well, well, not one, but one of the things that resonated with me was 6 months in. It was in June because it was Father's Day.
It was 6 months in, yeah.
Yeah. And you did what you did for me on Father's Day that weekend. That resonated with me so much, you would not believe.
Really?
Really. And it was Father's Day. It's not, I mean, we don't have kids together.
And we're right. not going to.
Exactly. And but that was just a Father's Day thing that you decided to celebrate me as a father. And that resonated so much. And that just blew me away. Because that, I'm like, who is this person to be doing this for me?
Mm-hmm. But you deserved it. Just like how you say to me that I deserve the happiness, you deserve it.
But you can understand, because that has never happened to me before.
You're kidding me. When you said that, I could not believe it.
Never. I've heard, you know, Happy Father's Day, yada, but nothing to the extent that you went through for that week. It wasn't just a day.
It was a full weekend.
It was a weekend. And I was like, hold on there. What? So that in itself was just like, all right, okay.
The look on your face that day at the event, it was, I wish I recorded that moment to keep it.
It was just phenomenal. It was, as I said, it's one of those things that will go down it sticks.
That's how I feel about my birthday. You did for my birthday.
Well, your birthday is your birthday.
You know how I feel about my birthday.
Exactly. So your birthday is
But your birthday. You, sir, was... Oh, honey. That was... Yeah. But put aside all the mush. Talk a lot about the mush, and we talk a lot about what works. The foundation in our relationship is communication, transparency, being each other's safe space.
Sounding board,
being each other's peace. And I think we're able to do that for each other because we found it within ourselves.
Yes.
And I think that's where a lot of people are lacking. They're looking for it from their partner. Else,
right. You have to find it within yourself first, as you rightly said.
That's why it has worked for us, because we took the time to find these things within ourselves so that now it just works. The love we give each other is what we give ourselves, right. I think. So besides all the mush, how have your sex life been this year, honey? You know the people like the kinky nasty stuff too. We got to give them both. So I wish y'all could see his face. We cannot give them. We're about now. Oh gosh, we've been recording for a while. So we cannot end this episode. We calling it a year of us. We cannot only give them the mush and the rainbows and sunshine. You gotta tell them about our kinky. How was that for you the moment you found out how the extent of my kink and fetish? Should I tell them the story? Wait, I don't know if we remember it the same way, but I remember it was like literally a couple days into meeting each other, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you what you were going to do for your birthday.
Uh-huh.
You want to take a break? Stop it. Okay. Okay, y'all. We have to pause right here because somebody needs to run to the little boys' room. Well, no, you go. Go. And I'll...
keep everybody entertained.
I'll keep them entertained while you... Because I'm not going to keep stopping. Okay, so let me tell y'all while he goes and take his potty break. You gotta close the door. because this room can hear everything. So when we met, or should I wait till he comes back? No, I'm not going to wait. I could tell y'all. So when we met a couple days in, it was a few days before his birthday. So we met on the 19th of January, and his birthday is the 23rd of January. And I remember asking him, what was he going to do for his birthday? And he was heading to Jamaica for his birthday. And he said he was just going to spend it with his mom. And kind of low key. And then he mentioned that in the past, he had spent it at Hedonism. And that's when the light bulb went off for me. Like, what the heck are you doing there? That's freaky people. I think y'all could probably hear the water running because we're recording in the hotel room. I think they could hear the water running. So he brought up Hedonism, and I think that's when the light bulb went off for me. I don't think you remember that, honey. He's back, y'all. He's back. When you were telling me what you were going to do for your birthday was to spend it with your mom, but then you said you spent it at Hedonism before, and I was playing dumb, and I said to you... And I was playing dumb, and I said to you, you know, what is Hedonism?
You didn't ask me what...
I did. I said, what are you doing at Hedonism? And you did. You I said, Hedonism of... are for freaky people. And I played so dumb, like I didn't know what it was. And you just... belted all out. You
what did I belt out?
You told me how you ventured in the swingers life before.
Oh, okay.
You told me the stories of you and number one.
Okay.
And all of that. I had you going for a good...
You turned on the faucet?
I think it was like a good 45 minutes.
Really?
Because I just kept asking you questions back to back, because this was one of those like phone conversations. It wasn't like we weren't texting.
Oh, okay.
I think you were in, oh my God, I think you were in Philly when we were chatting. And I remember it specifically because I remember I was driving or something. And every question I would ask you, you would just answer them. And you were telling me about threesomes, and you were telling me you were just letting it all out, and I was like, oh, what else do you want to try? And are you dominant? Are you? And I'm asking you all these questions, and you just freely answer them.
Right, because we were I was in a quote unquote safe space, you know, with you to to tell you exactly what my past was as it relates sexually. And
you were just answering it. You were answering them. And I think when you finally caught yourself, you were like, what about you? I think it was so funny when you finally caught yourself. You were like, I hope I'm not scaring you with all this stuff.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And I'm like, huh?
I don't remember me?
I remember it like...
of the conversation.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
But, yeah.
When you caught yourself. And I said,
was I rambling?
I had you going.
Okay.
Because you were just like freely telling me what you want to try. And all these things, and I just kept asking follow-up questions, and gotcha, I was asking gotcha, more follow-up questions.
Gotcha.
And for me, it was just like me checking my boxes at the same time.
Okay.
And then when you finally caught yourself, you're like, oh my God, I hope I'm not like making you nervous about all these things.
I was probably excited.
You were so freaking excited. And I was like, what actually?
I'm a freak too.
I am. And I think that's when I went into telling you about my sex coaching stuff. I mentioned the podcast to you. And I think I mentioned to you my BDSM. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when it kind of clicked for you. Like, whoa, I've hit the jackpot.
You were checking boxes off too. I was checking boxes.
You were checking boxes too.
Oh, yeah. I was like, damn, this is gravy right now.
You damn freak.
So I didn't know to the extent of my, I wouldn't say capabilities, I would just say BDSM was always, something to, I guess you aspire to get to. Never got there before. I never had the opportunity, light spanking.
And I remember you mentioned you were dominant in the bed, and I think that's
right. Yeah,
when I was like really picked your brain, it was more like you said you were dominant in the bedroom, but not dominant as a lifestyle.
Right, very dominant as it relates to you take charge, of course, light choking, stuff like that. I was the director. If there was a third party involved, I would be the one to direct and say exactly what to do and all that stuff. So, so I guess that I was in training.
You were in training? What the fuck? So, how... Oh, gosh, how can I formulate the question? How's it been for you transitioning into full dominance for our relationship? Because you collared me on...
It was in 2-2.
It was 2-2, 22. Right. Mm-hmm. And making that full dominant commitment to now be a full lifestyle. How's it been for you to just kind of...
You were
dance between the two.
Well, it got rebounds right back to you as it relates to you are a fantastic teacher because you kind of schooled me on the whole dominant submissive roles, all that stuff. So I just as it relates to the protocols per se.
I didn't have to school. It wasn't hard.
I know, right? I was just saying to say that, as it relates to just the protocols, as it relates to that, they say, oh, this is where this fits in and that. So I didn't know the dynamics of it.
And I love that. I love that you, and I think it was in a month of our trial period of deciding if you were going to collar me, you allowed me to lead in the sense of the teaching.
Right.
Because me being a switch... I can go dominant and submissive. The full dynamic to go full on dominance outside of the bedroom was new for you. So you allowing me that was beautiful to say, this is how it really works. And this is the flow. This is the framework.
Right. And to establish boundaries and to ensure that, of course you we don't go overboard as it relates to, there's a fine line because things can go south really quickly. And so you have to maintain that discipline as it relates to
dominance. You're really good at that. I think it's natural. no one would think this is your first rodeo as being a full... on dominant role because it came so natural for you.
Well, it blends in.
Yeah.
It blends in with the relationship we have. So once we're in sync, emotionally, physically, everything will come it doesn't matter what facet we decide to take part in, it will blend in. It will work.
It does work.
It was like, it's just like pieces of a puzzle fitting together.
That's true.
And the king part, yeah.
What's the highlighted king part? What's your top three in the kink area for a relationship? You nasty freak, tell the people.
Yeah, it's just being dumb. It's each time, you know, each time you...
Yeah, I wish I could see his face. He's trying not to give too much.
It's like a kid in a candy store sometimes.
You are like a freaking kid in a candy store.
Because you are dominant, so you have a person who is your submissive, who would basically grant you anything that your little heart desires. Basically, that's basically what it is. And
but you don't take advantage of that. You understand it is a gift.
You're right, it is a gift, and you have to treat it as such. You know, and so yeah, you have to be very careful. As I said, there are boundaries, the dynamics of it, and you know, you don't want to overstep and to go, just kind of go left. Keep it within the realm of where it's supposed to be. Pleasurable for both parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I look at it. Being a dominant is not just being your dom and you're being my submissive. I think it's collectively both of us getting pleasure. Because at the end of the day, you should never not be satisfied.
Implicit. Satisfied I am. You want to tell the people how you turn me into a faucet? Because they do know I am your little tap baby. I did do a whole squirting vacation from our September vacation. You want to tell the people how you turn me into a faucet?
Oh, so we're going to go there.
We are going to go there. This is a year of us. We cannot not give them the tea.
Okay.
You want to tell them how you turn me into a squirting faucet?
It's not...
Don't listen, give them this innocent look.
I'll not take credit for it because it was always there.
Honey.
But let me... It was just... It was just on... And I would use the word, no pun intended, untapped.
You know... I cannot stand you.
And it was just a way of finding a way to unleash your potential of squirting.
Now I'm just a walking mess.
Right, and that's fine.
And you like it?
Yeah. Because making you come over and over and over again, I love that. I love pleasing you. I love it to hear you. It brings me pleasure.
Hearing me come, watching me come multiple times. Watching
you come, hearing you come. It's, trust me, I can never get enough of that.
That's the thing, you know, y'all. It's not like just one and done. He's never satisfied when I come just once.
No, because you're not capable of just coming once.
What you mean I'm not capable? I am capable of coming one time and I'm done.
No. I've spoken to your body.
What?
And your body tells differently.
You and my body have a whole conversation.
Yeah, we have to. Because that's how we communicate.
Lord Jesus. And my little... My kitty cat down there have a whole relationship.
We have a conversation. Yeah, we have a relationship going. So we know what's good for you.
Oh, shit. What's y'all?
We know what's good for you. So we have a conversation. We know when you're throbbing. We know exactly. We're like, all right, let's do this. So we leave you out of the equation. We'll give you water if you need. Water to hydrate. We'll make sure you're hydrated. And... if you need a pillow to scream into or anything to that effect. But if your restraints need to be loosened.
Oh, God.
If your collar needs a little bit of adjusting or what Jesus. Have you. But other than that, if you're having a muscle spasm or something.
Oh, my God.
We will make sure you're good. But other than that,
I can't send you. And the thing is now, I don't just come. But I'm squirting every time.
Yeah, which is, that's where we're going.
So that's now true. My orgasms are squirting. Just yep. a pipe. Just a
yeah.
pipe.
Yeah.
What? This is the last kink thing, and then we're going to wrap up because y'all got way more than enough this episode. What has been, like, the one, like, BDSM thing you really enjoy? Whether it's the bondage, the spanking, the flogging, like, what's the thing you enjoyed this year and what you would like to evolve more into for our next year together?
I like the flogging because it turns me on that it gives you pleasure.
Mm-hmm. And somebody just got a new flogger. Well, that's like a damn belt.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to try that out and see how that works. And see, you know. But, yeah, to explore other... I want to get into to the ropes and to...
Oh, yeah, because I am a rope bunny.
Yeah, so I want to get into that for this year. What I enjoy, though, is... The you know, the flogging, the dominance, it kind of gives you that sense of being in, of course dominance is in charge, but it just y'all who are dominant know exactly what I mean. It just gives you the sense of it heightens my pleasure to be the one to give you pleasure.
Okay.
You know, and you can give it as much or you can give it as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you decide when and where pleasure is going to be given. And, you know, the whole realm of just having a submissive partner is out of this world. And for those of you who are vanilla, you don't know what you're missing.
Hey. This is a judge-free zone. Let the vanilla people be vanilla.
I understand, but I'm just saying.
My babies will be vanilla, and they're enjoying their vanilla world.
But that's what I'm saying. They don't know what they're missing.
Let them stay. They live vicariously through us.
Yeah, but,
But the beauty of it, just, like, the way I expose them to stuff, they understand. They might be in their vanilla world, but they've tapped in a little BDSM every now and then and a little spanking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Little spanking here and there. The little handcuffs here and there. Let them be, okay? Let's not judge, honey.
I'm not judging. This is a judgment-free zone.
It's a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, this is...
Okay, so before we wrap up, that was a whole tree. Leave them alone. Any advice for singles or couples out there when it comes to being open to relationship?
Being open to
a relationship, being open to love, being open to dating. Any advice for anybody? Do you want to do advice to couples first?
But you know what it is? What it is, it's kind of, and I wouldn't say difficult, because the society we live in right now,
oof.
There's no specific advice you can give to anyone or one sector, like a couple or a single person or what have you. All I can say is follow your heart.
Ooh, okay.
If you meet someone and don't hold me to this, but if it feels right, women have a lot of intuition.
Yes,
we do. You have intuition. If it don't feel right, it don't feel right. Usually,
go
with your gut. Yeah, go with your gut.
We already know this, yes.
You know, but I'm saying, and the gentleman will probably... But sometimes we are good at a facade.
Yes.
Right? And some of us are good at having a facade. And we can win you over, but it doesn't. It won't last long.
Get the 90-day rule, girls. You know this. Stick to the 90-day rule, because they always show their asses within the 90 days.
You're on probation.
You know. See, he knows. The 90-day probation, they always show their ass within the 90 days. But you never, I never got a chance to put you on a 90-day probation.
I never.
You dismantled that.
Yeah, I got the 2 weeks vacation.
You totally dismantled that. But no. If you are a woman like I was, as far as the wall, what I did differently coming into our relationship was allowing myself to flow. That was my big thing. Feeling and flowing and just letting it go. I didn't put up the rock. I didn't verbally express myself sabotaging. I kept it all in. Like, anytime a thought came up, it was just like, I kept it in and I readjusted. I fixed those distorted thinking and kept moving forward. Just gonna let it drop. So, yeah, but if you're not ready, just heal. Because that's the one thing we both did. We took time for ourselves.
And you do a personal inventory of you.
I think those are the main takeaway. We took time for ourselves. And we work now because we're doing things so differently from what we've done in our previous relationship. And I think because we're different people now from who we were in our previous relationships.
As it goes right back to the beginning, you have to be the best person you can offer somebody else.
Right.
No matter what you went through, no matter what baggage you have. I saw this saying, you know, find somebody to accept you with your baggage.
You accepted me with my whole load.
Yeah, but always, you will find somebody with baggage. Right. Find somebody who will help you unpack.
Ooh, I did see that. Mm-hmm. And we can just leave it right there. Mm-hmm. Find somebody with baggage, but find someone that will help you unpack.
Yeah. Everybody has baggage.
Everybody have baggage. Just find somebody that will help you unpack. And I think that's how we can close out this first episode. Y'all got a lot for this first episode. So thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I think this might be the longest episode I've done. Probably not. No, yeah, I think this might be the longest on record. So, thank you for listening. We wish you all a wonderful 2023.
Prosperous 2023.
I hope I can get him back on here several times this year to give more tips. Baby, honey, the people love you.
That was just one episode.
The people love you. So I think they want more of you. I think the shift in the podcast will be more relationship conversation now that I'm not out here in these streets doing toxic things. So
it doesn't have to be.
Catch y'all on the flip side.
I'll mix it up.
Yeah. Have a wonderful 2023. The next episode is going to come when it comes. Y'all know, just don't judge me. I am doing Pill Talk on TikTok the 27th at 8 p.m. What is my TikTok name? My TikTok name is I Am Tashina S, I think, or I Am Tashina. So follow me on TikTok. That's where I'm doing all our Pillow Talks now. So the next Pillow Talk is January 27th. So make sure you tap into that. I think that's next Friday. So So that will be on TikTok Live. That's the Pillow Talk. I have fun on there. So yeah, so that's it. So as always, be you, be true, and remember to embrace your kink and escape those labels. Bye, y'all.